Hello, my dear brother or sister in Christ. God bless you today. So this recording is very spur of the moment, and I want to let you know that we are going to attempt to add one new feature to our website, and it is this. We have recently received a message of gratitude from a brother who I had started sharing a few of our little personal updates, just little things that were going on behind the scenes in our life, thoughts about things that we see happening in the world. And this brother would reply with such appreciation for me including him in sharing with him maybe a journal entry that I did or some neat thought that Lisa and I had, or some recording that we had made in the morning. And I thought, you know something, I miss a lot of you. And I know that a lot of you miss us. And while we are working so hard, we have enjoyed that feeling of connection to a few of you over the years that we've kept in contact with and share, you know, communication back and forth. And while that's not possible for us to do with everyone, I suddenly had this thought this morning because I wanted to share a bunch of updates with all of you. And I thought, why not do this more often? Why not allow you to hear from us a little bit more, just kind of personally? It's not going to be a lot of the deep, intense stuff that it has been for years, but there's a lot of neat little things happening behind the scenes. And there's just our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." And Lisa and I were talking about how that we had to basically cut off so much of our life from people because of the nature of the persecution and the journey that I was on. And the time finally came when the Lord allowed me to withdraw. You know, John 10:17, "I lay down my life only to take it back up again." And the Lord showed me how I could do that, that I no longer needed to live all the rawness of what he was doing in my life in front of the open public, which, as you know, cost us a tremendous amount of pain and suffering for a very long time. But that effectively cut us off from a lot of you. And so I want to open the door back up. We're not going to make this formal. It'll just be, you know, kind of sharing as we feel led of the Spirit. I want you to know that we love you. And I want you to know that we appreciate so many of you. And we love hearing your comments, either from email or in the comment section in YouTube, or those of you that we've kept in touch with. In other ways, we love hearing from you, and we are often so blessed, and I wish that we could have more connection. I just want to remind you of that dream that I had all those years ago of the dark building, and I get into this room, and it's pitch black dark, and I'm tripping over all the furniture that's everywhere, and I can barely get through, and to get to the lights, they're at the far end of this big, huge office building, and there's all these little lights. And no two of them are touching each other. They're all over the place. And I woke up and got the meaning of that dream being a picture of what end times Christianity looks like, where we are all separated. All over the world, true Christians to this day still feel very isolated, separated not only from the world, but also from the churches that they once belonged to or the fellowship that they once enjoyed. And that continues to be a very vibrant, true picture of what I feel the Christian experience is for many of you. So if there's anything we can do to reconnect with one another, I hope that you'll enjoy one step closer to doing that. In fact, I'm going to add this as just a blog, you know, for Lisa and I to be able to share these things. And I'm actually going to turn comments on. You don't have to feel obligated to share something, but it's a lot more safe and a lot more private. And you're around family members on our website, whereas you're not when you do something on YouTube for the whole world to see. I still encourage you to comment under YouTube videos, even if it's just a little smiley or what have you, or thank you, because it does tell YouTube, this video is important to people, recommend it. And we need all that help. So I'm just going to start out by sharing with you my written journal entry from Sunday, the 26th of April. I did something remarkable. I, in t- entirely deleted the Relentless Heart YouTube channel after 14 years of work. And as you might imagine, that was a very bittersweet moment. So let me just read to you a short little journal entry I made. I made videos, screen recordings of the history of the Relentless Heart YouTube channel today, scrolling through all 455 videos, including the moment they were actually being deleted. Now, a lot of you know that back in January of 2023, the Lord had me basically pull almost all of the content off of that channel, but really all I did was just select private. I wanted to keep them up there for various journal reasons, history, what have you, and I left about 20 videos up on relentlessheart.com at the time, and then I've added a few personal update videos or like the Donald Trump video, I think, etc., you know, in the last 3 years, but it was still kind of there, and trusting God in the storm and heavenly scandal, etc., were there. Now all of that is gone. It's totally been wiped out. So I continued writing, while it was a bit unnerving and sad to finally go through with this, parentheses, I've been wanting to for a while, thinking of all the history and the impact in people's lives the channel had made, I mostly felt liberated and a wonderful sense of peace and excitement about a fresh new start for the Lord. I ended the day very confident the Lord was pleased with this step, and He not only bore witness to it with several providences, but I also had that strong sense of peace and inner witness in my heart, providence-wise, and then I went on and shared the few things that I felt the Lord had showed me, and I'll keep those just private, but He had shown me a few things that I knew He was communicating with me, that this was something He was pleased that I had done. I also definitely had the inner witness from the Spirit to suddenly do this. And then I wrote, the channel finished with 124,000 subscribers and 24 million video views, of which about 35,000 subscribers and 8 million views had come directly from the Gospel of John movie that I had posted a few years back, and which a few years later went viral just before I stopped using the channel in January of 2023. But that means 16 million views were of my teachings over the years. As I scrolled through the history of the channel, I paused to reflect at videos like Trusting God in the Storm, 1.7 million views, Why God Allows Many Marriages to Fail, 700,000 views, Verse by Verse, Can You Lose Your Salvation? 450,000 views. And I thought of the incredible impact these and others made on so many people's lives over all these years. I reflected on how many years of my life were spent and sacrificed to put all this out there for other people. I thought about how God used that notoriety to gain a following for myself, and how He also provided financially for my needs to be met through many of those people. I thought about the great battle that I have faced to contend for all that content and the truth of God, both in my life. Oh boy. And as teachings to others. Oh, I do apologize for this. Oh, I also thought on the fact that Gemini AI told me, quote, do not delete that channel. It shows great authority with the YouTube algorithm. But I do not follow AI, and I do not serve the, quote, great algorithm, but only the great I am. And so in just a few... I promise I have joy about this. I don't know why I'm, it's just a lot of work, a lot of life, guys. That's all there is to it. So in just a few minutes, all those years of work, all that impact was gone. Whew. But so too was all the trouble that had been thrown at me and my work. Tens of thousands of filthy comments, persecution, scandal, and evil suspicions that had been cast on me and the ministry were now also gone. Praise the Lord. It feels like another seed being dropped into the ground to die, or perhaps another Lazarus finally giving up the fight against the, quote, sickness and giving it all up to death. So, brothers and sisters, the tears that I just felt and the sadness I just felt is not reflective at all of what I felt the day that I took it down. In fact, I came back in from the journal entry that I made recording out walking. I came back into Lisa vibrant, full of joy, and filled with hopeful expectation. But I think that I do still have to grieve a little bit, the loss. Maybe I haven't done that until just now. There were stories I heard of people that were not able to go to sleep without listening to one of my messages. I literally have had grown men tell me that they would go to sleep all night long with my messages, or perhaps trusting God in the storm. I heard people say they stayed up all night long watching it over and over because they were in so much pain in their life. There is a lot of pain in this world. And to think back on how God has used that ministry and that message to people has been such an incredible blessing. I cannot put into words. I only hope that I can expect to meet some of these people in heaven and hear some of the stories from them of how God used the messages or the videos to reach them at a time they couldn't have expected, and to breathe life into them and to wake them up from the counterfeit false faith. And I really look forward to meeting those people, many who I've lost touch with. It was hundreds of thousands of people who came in contact. And again, I estimate now perhaps about 80,000 people that literally emailed me personally, telling me their stories and reaching out for help over the years. And so it's been a dramatic experience on all accounts. I was exposed to Satan and his dealings with Christians all over the world. I was exposed to God and his dealings, and I saw the cracks, I saw the vulnerabilities, I saw the obstacles to a life of pleasing faith with God all over the world. So it's been amazing, incredible experience that I will always be thankful for. And over the years, as I've studied Christian biography and autobiography, particularly of all the dead saints, the Puritans, and a lot of those big names that we all revere, there were quite a number of those men and women that had these devastating experiences where they suddenly lost almost all of their work, if not all of it. For example, there's all these stories of people like William Tyndale, who lost all of his work in translating the Bible in a shipwreck where it went down into the ocean. And there's a number of those stories. And then there's stories like Isaac Newton. Apparently his dog bumped over a candle that set to blaze 20 years worth of notes, meditations, and reflections of his work. And it was all gone in a poof. Then there's Adoniram Judson, who basically retranslated the whole Bible into the Burmese language, and then it was stolen. There are all kinds of these stories of people being in shipwrecks or fires. You can't imagine the loss, where translations of the Bible were totally destroyed. One man was moving to India. He had spent like two decades of his life to compile 800 books in a library to take to India, and it goes down in a ship. And the only thing that survives, he finds washed up on the shore, is a Bible. And there was a whole story. And a lot of these men and women that had these terrible experiences, they all found a Romans 8:28 blessing in them. And most of them found the spiritual energy to redouble their efforts, to redo the work, many of them calling it God's great edit or a divine edit. Many of them found that the work bore more fruit and was more spiritually beautiful and impactful on the other side of this terrible loss of many years of their life. And for a long time, I've had a torment about that happening to these people, but I've always thought to myself, wow, that's never happened to me. We've moved around so many times, and I have all these hard drives, and I'll look at the hard drives and I'll say, all of Relentless Heart, my whole life, all of the Lord's work is captured in those hard drives. If they ever got lost, if they ever went corrupt, if they ever got stolen, I would lose everything. And I've remarked to Lisa how many times I've been so thankful to the Lord that he has not allowed me to experience that kind of loss. But then on that prayer walk that day, I realized, wow, I have experienced that loss, the total loss of all of those years and decades of work. I lost them all spiritually in a spiritual fire. I lost them all in a spiritual shipwreck. I lost them all not when the Pacific Ocean came in like a flood, but when the enemy came in like a flood. And I suddenly was just walking and I said, wow, God, you have allowed all of my life's work to be touched and destroyed. And I mean, I held on to 20 videos for 3 years, but because of what happened with Persis and because of what largely happened with Taylor Noel Meitzner, all of that work was touched by Satan and all of it went down in a shipwreck. All of it was burned up to ashes in a terrible spiritual fire. And suddenly I was just, wow. I couldn't believe it. It was like this had been hidden from me for all these years, that all of my work had indeed been burned up spiritually. There's a lot of remarks that talk about the old saints all died by a martyrdom of execution or fire, but the new saints, the saints of like the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries all die by a spiritual martyrdom of having their characters assassinated. This is something that's well written and documented and understood in the lives of all these great saints. Whereas you used to die a physical death, being labeled a heretic or what have you, today, the way Satan attacks people in places where they can't kill you is to assassinate your character, to assault the good name of the minister. And I've done some research and found that this has happened to many people. People like Watchman Nee, who basically died with his reputation totally soiled. The government attacked him and essentially destroyed him. And we know this was Satan's doing. But then after he died, they found something underneath of his pillow, a statement that caused the church to realize he really was a true man of God. And then his teachings were slowly accepted. He was vindicated and basically made back into a true saint. I have read a bunch of these accounts and gleaned a great deal of hope, even after the fact that I believed the Lord was telling me we're going to have a fresh start. I seem to have had providential reflections like this from the Lord in the past, where like in 2024, I'm walking through the woods one morning in a prayer walk, and there's this giant redwood forest. And in front of the forest, there is this large stump. One of the trees had been cut down. And just as I'm passing on about a 45-minute walk, the light penetrates the deep forest behind like a spotlight. And where does it shine? It's shining directly on that stump. And I got my phone out, I took a video of it, and I felt like providentially the Lord was giving me a sign showing that although I had been cut back, that His light, His glory would shine upon me again, and that there would be a blessing. Just like all of these other brothers and sisters in Christ that have gone before me and before you and I, that have suffered great losses, the Lord has redeemed much of it and turned it around. There was another day to live. So we are believing for that, and we're going to share some of that with you along the way. Now, let me tell you what we're doing in light of that, taking that down. We are starting from scratch totally again. Like in the first 3 years of the ministry, it was me putting out all these videos for about 40 people. I think I did this for about 40 to 50 people for 3 years before we ever started seeing any growth. So I knew what was coming for me. I know that we have to start from scratch, and we're doing that. And we have just over 1,000 subscribers on the Old Lost Trail and maybe about 170 some odd on our other channel called From the Ruins, which we're trying to dedicate directly to reaching over the next few years those who are going through divorce. So we're starting from scratch. And we also find it interesting that over the years, a few people have mentioned that they believed that my ministry was ahead of its time. And it's because of what they mean by that is all the suffering that I had to go through didn't match Christianity when people are not going through a lot of suffering. It's remembering Matthew 11:28. Jesus's call to people is not to people who are getting along well in life. That fails. That's the rich young ruler. Jesus knows they walk away. So in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, weary from trying to perhaps be under the law to attain your righteousness, burdened from the sin that results of you not being able to do that, or just the suffering of being under the oppressive Roman regime at that time. These would have led to weariness and burdens. And those are the kind of people that Jesus says should come to him, because he knows those are the kind of people that will listen to him, that will respond to him. And so as my ministry, although my story was a disaster and it looked like its own tribulation, for years I have journaled that I believed what I was going through, all the loss of family and scandal and all the things that happened to me, losing all my family members, losing everything, that I started to believe that this was a picture and a foretaste of things that people who were alive heading into the days of the great tribulation and thereafter, who themselves would also experience. And that perhaps one day my ministry and my recordings would be a real safety net, a place of strength, a place of comfort for people who were going to go through terrible, dreadful sufferings that they could see I had already gone through. We're paying attention to what's going on in the world. We see what's going on with Donald Trump. We pay particular attention to Donald Trump. We don't worry about it. We don't allow ourselves to sink over it, but we're keeping our fingers on the pulse because, as you know, starting in 2016, the Lord had me making personal recordings to people, warning them about Donald Trump, that he was a complete, horrible, dreadful deception empowered by an Antichrist spirit. I do not at all believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I believe the Antichrist will be far more dignified than that foolish idiot. I absolutely must tell you that. But he is setting in motion places and things and the scene for eventually a full Antichrist to rise. So many things could be said about that. But to see this evil, wicked human being be everything that the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me has been warning people for years that he was, we see that it's no longer just about him, you know, being a despicable, disgraceful human being and the king of all hypocrites. He's actually taking decisions that are affecting you, that are hurting you. And it's expected that in the next 90 days, the world is going to begin to feel a lot more of the effects of this one highly wicked, deplorable human being. And as we even recover from that and get past that, there'll be other waves of affliction, like what you saw with COVID-19. That's a wave. That's just one wave of God's wrath. It will come in waves. And what you will find is people are going to be humbled. Little circumstances that appear to be just a line in legislation or new advances in technology are going to begin to affect people's lives that are on the high and mighty path right now. And they won't be high and mighty for long. And we're really hoping that the Lord positions our ministry to be found as people realize, wow, my life is breaking. My life is falling apart. I'm losing everything. It's not going the way I had expected. And that they will maybe turn to God, some of them. There will be his elect. We believe it. And we wish to be poised by God's Spirit as a ministry that can capture some of those people who are now humbled, where the soil of their hard heart has been tilled and plowed and broken up, and it's now finally able in humility to begin to receive some seeds of the word and truth of God. And they might come across a ministry like me. And we believe that this ministry is now going to be poised in years to come for growth. And we believe the Lord has shown it to us. We believe he led us to Isaiah 49:19 to show us that although we were cut back, although we were bereaved, although we were struck, the day is going to come when the people who are following the ministry are going to say, we need more room. Where did all these come from that were born to me during our bereavement? So we believe that's coming. And behind the scenes, we're working as hard and as fast as we can to get everything ready for that. So You will notice, since we pulled down Relentless Heart channel, there's going to be some missing videos. If you move around Relentless Heart, every once in a while, you'll find some missing videos, and that's where they were linked to the old YouTube channel. We are going to begin to repost all of those videos on the old Lost Trail. They're going to have new, because my wife is doing such a beautiful job and taking so much effort. At least we hope that you think she's doing a beautiful job. I sure do. She's working hard to try to give our thumbnails a fresh look. She's the one that's responsible for how the whole look of the website is and all the new thumbnails. And we're experimenting. We're not pros at this. We're having to learn a lot of things that we never have had to pay attention to. But we're going to be reposting all those videos. Not every video I ever did, but a lot of them on the old Lost Trail. I encourage you to listen to them again. It's like Peter says, I will keep reminding you of these things. It is good for me to remind you of these things, Paul says. We need to be reminded. Our hearts are leaky. So don't just say, oh, I've heard that message before. Take it in again. I'm just sitting here right now with a brand new fresh copy of the John 7:17 Challenge 10th anniversary that arrived. It's my new copy. And I started to go back through this with Lisa. I said, let's just go back through it. She's been through it so many times with Keeley, and I've been through it so many times because I wrote it. And when I went through even just day one again, I felt so much joy and such a lifting up, such a connection. It's timeless truths, the words and teachings of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The John 7:17 challenge and the messages, if they came truly from Jesus, they will never be outdated. They will always be timeless. And there will never be a time when we can say, I've already heard that. I've heard that enough. No, we have to keep feeding. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay. The next point, we're trying to redo the whole front page of the website. We want it to be much more like an app experience. So we're changing it to be like a Netflix or a Prime Video style. And I encourage you, if you haven't been there lately, go check it out. We have two carousels up, one for the Old Lost Trail and one for From the Ruins. And take a note that when you scroll, if you just touch it one time, it gives you a brief description. You can see how many times the video has been viewed on YouTube. You can see also if you click the video, if you click it again, the video will open up immediately. You don't have to go to a new page. It opens up immediately. It will begin to play. And how cool is this? You can scroll down on our website and see all the comments below the video. So it's a really neat feature that we're building into the website. And our plan is, as time permits, we're going to take all 21 categories of our teachings, like trusting God, divorce, hearing God, obedience, and every single category will be a carousel that you can quickly scroll through and get to, so that when somebody arrives at our website, they're going to be blown away by all the good, godly content the Lord has prepared for them, and they don't have to go searching for it. Plus, we are now starting to produce some shorts. Jesus called us to be fishers of men. And as it turns out, although I've never wanted to do these things, as it turns out, these shorts are a little bit like fishing lures. They're like bait. And it's apparently a good way for us to help find these new people that we believe are out there, for them to quickly find our channel and gain access to it. We've already seen it's starting to work. We've only just started it. And I think we've gotten about 15 new subscribers in just the last day or two on the Old Lost Trail. And I think some of them are happening from these shorts. So we've also started a new divorce channel. And by the way, when you see those shorts, don't forget, you can pass these on wherever you're at doing social media. It's a quick way for people to be able to sample. Like when you go through the food courts at a mall here in America, the guy says, you know, they free sample. And they hold out a little piece of chicken on the toothpick. These are a little bit like free samples to help people kind of see, is this something that I'm interested in? We also have a new divorce channel. If you know somebody that's going through divorce, it's called From the Ruins. Be sure to subscribe to that if it applies to you, or remember that if you know somebody going through divorce. We see that that is one of the great ways that people come to a place of being weary and burdened, is through that great suffering of divorce. And that's a way that God can capture some of his sheep. The new books started arriving last week, and we were surprised to see that even people who ordered the books in America didn't get them as quick as some of the people in Europe. The very first picture that we got from Sister Kimberly, thank you, Kimberly, for sending us that beautiful picture. Kimberly bought 3 books, 1 for herself and 2 to give away to people she didn't know. She said she would trust the Lord to have him put the person in her path to give them away, but she put them out on a red cloth that she had. They were just gorgeous, all spread out, and she was the first person to receive her book in Ireland. She got them before any of us in America did. It's amazing, and the reason is because the publisher that we're using has printers all over the world, even in India, Australia. Keely and our family just got their books yesterday. And we ordered theirs a little bit late, but the book is something so beautiful. Thank you for those of you who have purchased it. I know you wanted it for yourself, but you also have provided a little support for some of the work that Lisa and I have done. And we feel a little bit like the widow being able to sell some of the oil to pay our debts and live on the rest. It's not much, but we do make a little bit when we sell them, and we priced them in such a way. It's a specialty book. It's beautiful. It's 352 pages. And I'm so proud to hold it in my hands, knowing what Father did to cause me to write it and what the impact has been on people who have taken it over the years. I'm going to tell you a little story on that. A lady that we came in contact with in 2025 when we were in Santa Cruz, California, and her name is Barb. She's now inside the book. She's got the handwritten letter that you see as you open up just before the book starts. And she told us her story, which was just amazing. She was in her 70s, and 3.5 years earlier, somebody had given her a copy of the old John 7:17 challenge. She put it on her shelf to not be rude. She didn't throw it away, and she never touched it. It sat there and collected dust for 3.5 years. And then one day while she was cleaning, she put her hand on that book and she said, "Michael, I've never taken my hand off since." She had been born again 50 years earlier. 3.5 years later, she starts to read the book. She's never put it down. She starts to contact us and tell us how much of a difference the book is making in her life. And before we know it, she's asking us, where can she send us a check to buy 20 copies of the book, because she wants to hand them out to people in her church, starting with her pastor. So she buys 20 copies of the old book and hands them out. And then we end up getting a message from her, a letter. She sends us a letter, handwritten, where she says that if she now had to leave her house in a hurry, the only 2 things that she would take with her would be her Bible and the John 7:17 challenge. And in this letter, she talks about how she can only imagine how many mistakes and how many years this would have saved her had she had this 50 years ago when she was born again in the Lord. And how she actually said that even after she started reading the book, she found herself wanting to throw it away a few times. She got so mad about what she was reading, but she said that as she sat long enough, she couldn't deny all the scriptural support that I had provided to back up my teaching and the positions about Jesus Christ teachings that I held. And so she would just humble herself and she kept going. Now she's about ready to go through the John 7:17, her 5th time in her 70s. And she has sent us message after message telling us how each time she gets fresh new insights and is blessed all over again. And then just last week, she sent us a text message telling us that a lady she had given one of the copies to just this past December, an Amish lady, you know what the Amish people are and how separated from society they live. An Amish woman was given a copy of the book and sent her a thank you to let her know how much that book has changed her life. I say, thank you, Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Brothers and sisters, the John 7:17 has a proven track record of radically changing people's lives. And it's one of the great reasons why Satan came after me like he did. If you study any of Christian history, if you look into anybody that's respected as a saint of God, a fruitful minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that at some point they came into a hellfire battle against their ministry. oftentimes suffering devastating loss of their life, their work, even their reputation, like I mentioned with Watchman Nee and many others it's happened to. When Satan attacks, it is a sign that the Lord Jesus Christ and his seat is there, and I promise you it is. To this day, I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than I ever have. After all that I've been through, there's not one thing that he hasn't turned for mine or Lisa's good. It is the highest level of love I've ever felt for Jesus. I described it to Keely that I'm smitten by Jesus. I'm smitten by him. And brothers and sisters, I say this to you as someone who lost everything. God took everything from me. God has allowed me to suffer horribly. And now I'm so deeply in love with him. I don't always feel this kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy thing from him. I rarely do. But what I feel for him is that I feel such an affection, such a sense that he has done all things right. Will not the judge of all the earth do all things right? He has done all things right in my life, in your life. He's doing all things right, no matter what you feel right now, no matter how long it's been. I promise you, I can say with great weight, a weight that was set apart, a life that was totally set apart by suffering, extraordinary sufferings, says to you, it will all turn for God's glory and your good if you will hang on and persevere. It will all turn for you to be amongst those who love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You keep persevering. Everything God is working into your life, he's working for your citizenship one day in heaven. You're being made to partake of the treasure and your inheritance in heaven. The losses down here are gains up there. The going low down here is the going high up there. The being weak down here is the being made powerful up there. The being overlooked, the being forsaken, the suffering down here is the being glorified up there. I promise you, brothers and sisters, it's worth it to suffer for Jesus. Look at all the loss in my life, and I cannot fault God for one bit of it. He's been hard on me. But look at all of the fruit and the juice that he squeezed out of it. And then to protect me from being prideful. See, if the type of testimonies that were coming in would have continued, and if that growth would have continued, there is no way I would have been able to survive the pride. I believe for sure I would have become like Nebuchadnezzar. Even though I would have despised it, even though I would have never wanted to do it, I believe if the ministry had continued at the pace it was going, God would have destroyed the servant of the ministry. And I know that he cares more about the minister than he does the ministry. And so God, to keep me from being like Nebuchadnezzar, one day secretly in my heart saying, oh, look at all that my hand has produced. To keep me from having that, brothers and sisters, he cut me back. And I'm so thankful that God cut me back. I'm so thankful, brothers and sisters. So let him cut you back. Let him cut. Let him prune. Let him chop down. Our Father in heaven is faithful. He knows what he's doing. Let him do it. I will just let you know also, just to finish this up, that we also have plans that we're working on our next book. And we're working on a book for the devotional table in the wilderness. And we're going to do an Old Lost Trail book. I think it's too beautiful not to. And the Lord has called us to do books. So you're going to see more books coming out. He's telling me to gather all the pieces. And that's what I'm doing. And sent me to Jeremiah chapter 30 one day, and I was like, oh God in heaven, thank you, where he tells Jeremiah to write down everything he's received in a book. And so we're writing it down. We're also working on making the website work more like an app where you can get notifications. We're going to look into that, where when we post something like this, you'll get a notification so that it works more like an app. And we're going to show you how you can just add the website to your home screen. And then you'll see the updates that come to the home screen. So we're going to work on that as well. And I think that's it for now. That was a lot of updates for our first one. I'll try to keep the rest of them shorter. Lisa's chuckling because I told her, I said, oh, she's like, oh, just make it like 5 minutes. I said, oh, I can't do that. Can't do that. So hopefully you enjoyed this. If you did, would you do me a favor? Say hello to us again. Let us know, did you find this beneficial? Again, I won't make them this long. This is just kind of an introductory, and there was a lot of updates. Let us know what jumped out to you. You know, how do you feel about Relentless Heart being taken down? How do you feel about you know, the future of the ministry. How has this impacted you? Share with each other and with us, if you will, below the comments. I'll say bye for now. We love you very much. God bless you in Jesus' name. And I hope and pray that we can all start to feel a little bit more connected through some of these messages and comments below. Bye for now.